the King of Kings.
Holy.
You will always be.
Lift up your voice and let's magnify Him. Magnify Him. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for the salvation we have in the name of Jesus. Thank you for victory we have in the name of Jesus. All so fala katia la katola balia la katola bali mara katola balia la katola bala katala katola ba. All so fala katia la katola baba bala kata. Oh, Sophia, la Catala, la Catala, Catola, Racatola, Piana, Catile, de Catil. Oh, the band, la Catala, Catala, Babala, Catala, Catala, Racatola, Balacatala, Catala, Ricatola, Babala, Catala, Babala, Catala, 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 Lara, Babala, Catila, Babala, Catile, de Catala, Racatunda, Rababala, Catile, Catola. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the birth of Jesus marks the beginning of the journey of redemption of mankind. With the birth of Jesus, He came and He saved us from our sins. Hallelujah. So in view of that, I want us to thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank Him for the birth of Jesus, because Jesus is born and He died, we are saved from our sins. Without Him being born, He will not die. Now thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Also, Rakatia la Kata la Babala Katula Balia, Ropandia la Kasia la Bala Kata. Thank you, Lord, for redemption. Askerebondo la Balia la Kasia la Kata, Rakatula Babala Kasia la Katula Babala Katula. Eso la Bala Kasia la Kata la Babala Kasia la Kata la Babala Kasia la Kata. Ramos Kelebek and Evans Kulebala Kasala Balababala Kasasa Rakatola Balakasala Katola Babala Kasala Badi Rekisunda La Balakasia La Katola Babalakasi Rekisundo Balakasala Katola Bala. Lord, we are grateful. Marakasia La Katasasa. Thank you for my ticket to hell has been cancelled. Oh, Safa La Katia La Kato. Ha 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 ha. Marakasunda Rabalagala Katola Bala. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Christmas is the reason why we have Easter. And Easter signifies our redemption. When our ticket from hell was canceled. Hallelujah. So can we give Jesus a glorious shout? Hallelujah. Thank you, voice of Christ. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 While we're still standing, can we celebrate our parents in the Lord? Praise God. Thank you, sir, for this great honor. An opportunity to be here. Praise God and minister. Now celebrate yourself also. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, I've had some people argue that Jesus was not born on 25th of December. That why do we celebrate Christmas since Jesus was not born on 25th of December? Praise God. Listen, the Bible says whatever we agree on earth is agreed in heaven. Are you following me? The body of Christ as a whole have come together to agree that we celebrate the birth of Jesus on 25th of December. So it is recognized in heaven. So whether he was born in June or July or August, we are celebrating him in December. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
After all, some of you, the birthday you use is not your real birthday. Amen. Yet we celebrate you like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Some say, you don't know the origin of Christmas. It's related to idol worship and the rest. We are not celebrating any idol. We are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we celebrate Christmas. And celebrating Christmas, you see, though people just try to create revelations and here and there. If you don't want to celebrate it, let it be. But we are celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Amen.
Say amen. That also means that if you are not born again, you are not qualified to celebrate Christmas. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity of looking to your perfect love, liberty. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we see the things that you have in store for us. In Jesus Christ be praised, Jesus be magnified. We thank you for the birth of our Savior. We celebrate the birth of Jesus today here on earth. And we know that heaven recognizes this. Lord, we are grateful. Because of his birth, he came and he died for our sins. And we're saved. Our ticket to hell has been cancelled. Jesus be magnified. Jesus be praised. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 1. We'll read the same passage my son read earlier. Matthew 1 verse 18 to 25. New Living Translation. Matthew 1 verse 18 to 25. I will be teaching on what I titled, When Right Looks Wrong. When Doing Right Looks Wrong. Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. When doing right looks wrong. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of these occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophets. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the first thing I want to say here is that when you're reading Bible stories, it's important you realize that these events actually took place. They are not fictions. They are real. The events took place. So if you see them as events that took place, learn to put yourself in the picture. Put yourself in the scenario and ask yourself questions. I don't know how many of you seated here. Now forget that we have read that Jesus was given birth by a virgin, Mary. Forget that we've read about that. We know about that. Assuming we've never read anything like that. I don't know how many of you seated here will be engaged to a lady. And then you come visiting one day. She tells you she's pregnant. Who is responsible? She says the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you will continue that relationship. Is there anyone here that will continue that relationship? You know, most times when we talk about the story of Jesus, we focus on Mary and then Jesus. Most times we don't look at Joseph. We don't look at the life of Joseph. So I want to pick out some lessons from the life of Joseph. Our father commenced teaching on that in the devotional. I don't know how many of you are following. But I want to pick that lessons from Joseph, the life of Joseph. Because when we study the life of Joseph, we'll realize that in his life story, doing right looks wrong. It looks wrong in the eyes of the society. It looks wrong in the eyes of our environment, the doctrines we've known. It looks wrong even to his own thinking and imagination. It sounded as though he was foolish. Is that not so? Doing right looks wrong. But when we look at the life of Joseph, we'll learn a lot from it. That also means that when you choose to follow the will of God, you may be misunderstood. You may be questioned. Some may even look down on you. But if God has spoken, obedience is never wrong. Did you hear what I said? If God has spoken, you are sure God has spoken to you, obedience is never wrong. You may look wrong in the eyes of the society, wrong to people, wrong to culture, wrong to your own understanding, but just be sure that God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Now, let's pick out some lessons from the life of Joseph as the Holy Spirit permits us. I wrote down about five. Let's see. I will go through them by the grace of God. Now, the first thing I want us to notice in verse 18, the Bible refers, let's go back to verse 18. The Bible refers to Joseph as a righteous man. Hallelujah. Before, okay, verse 19, Joseph, our fiance, was a good man. King James says he was a just man. King James, let's see King James, New King James. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, lessons from the life of Joseph, when right looks wrong. The first thing I want you to notice is that the Bible referred to Joseph as a righteous man. Now, if the Bible referred to him as a righteous man, as a just man, that means Joseph was righteous based on the law. because he lived under the Old Testament. He was righteous based on the law. If you check the law, you will not be able to find him wanting in any dimension. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And the Bible refers to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's see 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, now and then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Next verse. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, every one of us that is born again has been made righteous. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Every one of us that is born again has been made righteous. Say with me, I'm righteous.
Righteous.
Say with me, I'm righteous.
Righteous.
If you're a believer, say I'm righteous.
Righteous.
Hallelujah. Now the Bible refers to Joseph as a righteous man, and the Bible refers to you as a righteous man. Hallelujah. Did you get what I'm saying? The Bible refers to Joseph as a righteous man. The Bible refers to you as a righteous man. Once again, say with me, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
So that means some of these lessons we'll learn about Joseph applies to you because you're a righteous man. Are you getting what I'm saying? The lessons we are learning about the life of Joseph also applies to you because you are righteous. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing I want us to note here is that Joseph, being a righteous man, even though he's engaged to Mary, they were about to get married, they did not have premarital sex. So righteous men don't engage in premarital sex.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Righteous men So you are a righteous man. Now permit me, when I say man, I'm talking about both male and female. You are righteous, therefore, in this kingdom, we do not test fertility before marriage through premarital sex. We do not test sexual compatibility before marriage. That is how righteous men live. Say amen.
Amen.
It's not sounding like Christmas message, isn't it? That is how righteous men talk. Say amen.
Amen.
The world may give you their own definition, but the kingdom tells us how righteous men should live, how righteous men should behave. The Bible said Mary was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. And Joseph thought about leaving her secretly because he knows that he has not done anything and he'll be accused wrongly. Praise the Lord. Now listen, in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, let's see Isaiah 7 verse 14. I want to bring out something significant here. See the prophecy about the birth of Jesus. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. So a prophecy has gone ahead that the one that will usher in the Messiah to this earth will be a virgin. Are you following what I'm saying? A prophecy has gone ahead that the one that will give birth to Messiah will be a virgin. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to respond. If Joseph and Mary had involved themselves in premarital sex, will Mary have been the mother of Jesus? Let me hear your response now. Will Mary have been the mother of Jesus? Because God's word cannot be broken. God's word cannot be broken. So God would have used another vessel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, listen to me. That means you can stop God's plan in your life from coming to pass by yielding to sin. Mary would have disqualified herself. She would have been out of the list. You can stop God's plan from coming to pass in your life by yielding to sin. You can stop it. You can slow it down. We thank God for God's mercy. But Mary wouldn't have been the mother of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
By a simple act of pleasure. She wouldn't have been the mother of Jesus. Joseph himself would have missed out in the opportunity of being the stepfather of Jesus by yielding to the flesh. Hallelujah. Every instruction that God gives us in his word is for our good. Praise the Lord. Every instruction is for our good. I say it and I say it over and again. Once you are in this kingdom, you cannot be defining your life based on your culture, based on your society. You cannot. You define your life based on the written word of God. The word of God becomes your standard. Don't come and tell me in our place, once we have done introduction, the lady can move in. In this kingdom, until the marriage has been blessed, before the lady moves to your house. Say amen.
Amen.
Once you are a believer, the standard of God's word supersedes your culture. Any culture that contradicts God's word, pull it down. It may not even be your culture, it may be peer pressure from the society, peer pressure from your friends, peer pressure from people around you. Any culture that contradicts God's word, pull it down. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
When right looks wrong. So like I said earlier, the life of Joseph portrays how a righteous man should live. Proverbs 14 verse 34. Let's see Proverbs 14 verse 34. New King James, thank you. You are New King James. Proverbs 13 verse 34. It says what? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, a nation is human beings that make up a nation, isn't it? So we'll say righteousness exalts a person, but sin is a reproach to anybody. Living a righteous life, especially in this age and time, in our society where people feel that doing wrong is a normal thing, they may even laugh at you, but listen to me. Righteousness eventually will exalt you. Righteousness exalt a nation. Righteousness will exalt a person. Righteousness exalts a people. But sin is a reproach. Say amen.
Amen.
So righteousness will exalt you. Hebrews 1 verse 9. Hebrews 1 verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions, above your fellows. So living a righteous life will exalt you. Living a righteous life will exalt you. Say amen.
Amen.
Living a righteous life will exalt you. Now, I want to say also with emphasis that the aim of this teaching or these lessons is not to put anyone under condemnation. It's for you to learn and adjust. For you to learn and make your ways right. Say amen.
Amen.
Even if you expose yourself to premarital sex, you can stop today. Knowing that righteous men do not do that.
Amen.
So first lesson I want us to learn from the life of Joseph, a righteous man, is that righteous men do not engage in premarital sex. Righteous men do not engage in premarital sex. That's what the Bible says. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two. The second lesson I want us to learn from the life of Joseph. Let's see Matthew 1 verse 18 to 19. Again, Matthew 1 verse 18 to 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man or a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. NIV, let's see NIV verse 19. Thank you. But because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Can you see that? He was what? A righteous man. And did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her. How? Quietly. Second lesson from the life of Joseph is that righteous men value relationships. Righteous men value relationships. When right looks wrong. Righteous men value relationship. They value relationship more than their reputation. They value relationship more than their reputation. Like I was saying earlier, I said, you need to reflect and think. Put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. You are not the one responsible for the pregnancy. Yet, you are standing in there as the father, as the one responsible. You don't even know the person responsible. You are standing in there as the one responsible. What anyone will think about is, especially that he's a righteous man, people know he's a righteous man, he wants to protect his reputation. What everyone will think about is, let me tell people, let them know I'm not responsible. Do I have a witness? I'm not the one, no, my hands are up. Let them know I'm not responsible. Is that not so? If she will face the suspension, she will face it alone. Think about these things. Look at it in our day and time. Look at it in our day and time. You are not the one responsible. And you take responsibility. Because, you know, it is one thing for a young lady to get pregnant outside wedlock. It's another thing for her not to know who is responsible. Is that not so? Do I have a witness? I mean, if a young lady gets pregnant outside wedlock, they say, who is responsible? She says, it's Timothy. It's not this Timothy. Maybe in his former life, I don't know. But if they say, who is responsible? She says, it's Timothy. It makes the case easier.
Yes.
We'll stand up and go to their Timothy's house. Timothy, are you the one? He says, yes. So okay, so let's do other things. You people are married, amen?
Yes.
When is she moving? Don't get pregnant for a man because you want him to marry you. That's the beginning of your mystery in life. Did you hear what I said? I'm speaking to those of you that are single. Don't make the mistake of getting pregnant for a man because you think you will use the pregnancy to hook him. He will unhook himself. That's the highest level of stupidity. Now, this is a scenario now. The lady is pregnant. Who is responsible? She says, I don't know. Now, when a lady is pregnant and she doesn't know who is responsible, two things are involved. Number one, either she's lying. She doesn't want to mention the guy's name based on their agreement. Agreement is agreement to you. Or number two, she has multiple sexual partners, so she cannot pinpoint it on anyone. And that gives us concern, isn't it? Now, this is Mary's case. She said it's the Holy Spirit. Holy what?
Holy.
It has never been recorded that the Holy Spirit impregnated someone. Have you ever seen him? Where do people meet? Now, listen to me. Not knowing who is responsible qualifies her to be stoned to death. Based on the law, qualifies her to be stoned to death. So Joseph stood in so that Mary can live.
Hallelujah.
He let go of his reputation. He let go of reputation because he values the relationship he had with Mary. He let go of his reputation. He took responsibility that I am responsible, even though he doesn't know who is responsible. Now, the Bible says he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to quietly end the relationship. Note another thing here. Joseph had in mind to quietly end the relationship. But I strongly believe, even to Mary, he didn't say it. Because the Bible says he had in mind, he was thinking about ending the relationship. Some of you, everything you think, you say it out. You say it out immediately, without going to have a rethink. The man, he could have said, he would have said a lot of terrible things. I didn't know you were a useless girl. You're a prostitute, and yet they'll be seeing you in church as a righteous lady. What do you mean now that you are pregnant? Something that we're about to get married. He will say a lot of terrible things that will end their relationship in a terrible way.
Yes.
Listen to me. Words are like eggs.
Yes,
the moment they fall down and break, you cannot pack it. Tell you, for instance, you are stupid, and I meet you later and say, I am sorry. You are forgiving me, but it's still in your mind that I told you you are fit.
Yes,
there are people that have said terrible things about me. They come back later and say they are sorry. I forgive them, but I've noted it down. Yes. Take note of what people tell you, especially when they are angry. It's what they have been nursing. Joseph was not thinking ill about Mary. That was why he could not even say anything. He thought of the best way to do this is, I will end this thing privately, quietly, so that I will not bring her to public shame. So that I will not bring her to public shame. There are some of you, the moment you are angry, you spit out fire. The moment you are angry, you say anything. You've been married to this man for 5 years, living peacefully. Now you have misunderstanding. You say, you are a very useless man. I regretted marrying you. I regret the day I met you. You have never loved me in this life. Then later when you come to your senses, you say, I'm sorry. But you have said it. You have said it. Listen to me. One of the principles you should learn is, when you're angry, don't speak. When you're confused, don't speak. Silence can never be misquoted. If you are talking to me and I keep quiet, you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't. In my mind, I may be saying you're a stupid man. But I never said it. You did not hear it. Only God knows the things Joseph was thinking. Withhold this thing. But he didn't say anything. When Mary told him this, his heart was broken. He went back home quietly and started thinking, I will end this relationship quietly so that I don't bring disgrace to Mary. So that I don't bring disgrace to her. He valued the times they've had together. There are some of you that don't value relationship. They don't value relationship. Someone has helped you in life and the person made one mistake, you will rain hell on the person. Every form of insults on the person. Listen to me. The best of every man is the man. Every human being. The best. There are some people that have passed through this ministry. We trained them. Our Father ordained them. But today, because they are no longer here, they speak ill about this ministry. That should never be your own kind of lifestyle. Are you hearing me? Learn to value relationship. Anyone that has blessed you in this life, in one way or the other, learn to value those wonderful moments.
Amen.
Cherish those moments. Cherish those moments. Someone said one time that he's angry with our Father and the Lord. What's his offense? That he refused to come for my wedding. Your wedding? How many weddings are we going to attend? That's his reason for offense. You're a baby. Some people leave units in church because they're offended. This Father's Delight is a very useless church. You've forgotten when we gave you free rice. You've forgotten when we did free medical services for you. You've forgotten when we teach you the word in dry season and rainy season. You've forgotten when we were praying for you. Because you were sick and we did not come and visit, you say we are very wicked, we don't care. Value relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn to value relationships.
Amen.
Learn to value relationships. Any door you have passed through, close gently. You may need to pass through again. Any bridge you have crossed, don't burn it down. You may need to pass through that bridge again. Learn to value relationships. Learn to value relationships. Listen to me. Listen. There is no one that God sends to your life that is useless.
Hallelujah.
Every man or woman that God sends into your life is for a purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They tell the Lord that there are about over 7 billion people on earth, isn't it? I don't know how many of you seated here know up to 1 billion people. I don't know how many of you know up to 1 million. But God permitted you to know a few people. Know a few people. Because, listen to me, anyone that God permits you to know has something to contribute to your destiny. It may be positively or negatively, but they are necessary to fulfill your destiny. You think Jesus did not know that Judas was stealing from the purse? He knew. Jesus knew that Judas was stealing from the purse. But he knew that John the Baptist can never betray him. John the Baptist can never sell him. John the Beloved, sorry, can never sell him. He is always lying at the bosom of the Master. If all of them were like John the Beloved, we would have still been in our sin. So thank God for Judas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not everyone that God brings your way that it will be pleasure all through. Some of them will cause you trouble. But the trouble is to prepare you to fulfill your destiny. Can I hear an amen? Listen to me, child of God. Some of you, with every little offense, you cut people off. You will keep cutting up your destiny helpers until you become helpless in life.
Okay.
No destiny helper is perfect. Every destiny helper is a human being. None is perfect. So if you are waiting for a perfect human being, you will never fulfill your destiny. You need John in your life. You need Judas in your life. You need Peter in your life. The one that will deny you, but later come and apologize. You need them. Because later he will become the foundation of the church. Learn to value relationships. I said it here, I think last week, Wednesday or so. During our midweek service. The few years that I've been working in ministry with our Father in the Lord, I've learned a lot. Earlier, when we started working with him, most of us, we see as though he's a weakling. We feel he takes his time to make decisions. We are seeing something is clear. This is what this person has done. He will never give up on the person. Because, you see, I thank God greatly that God planted me here and to work here. Because my kind of personality, the moment you are doing something, I just deal with you. But you see, we keep learning every day.
Oh, yeah.
We are seeing that this person is doing wrong. And yet you are bringing him close. And yet you are encouraging him. You are giving him a long rope. Why? Because he knows that he needs both Judas and John the Baptist to fulfill destiny. I say it again. If you keep putting people off from your life, you slow down your journey to destiny.
Amen.
You slow down your journey to destiny.
Hallelujah.
I don't need you. I don't need you. What are you contributing in my life? You're useless. I don't need you. I say it again. There's nobody that God brings to your life that is without significance. There's a reason why God brings people to your life. They may contribute positively or negatively. Learn to find out why they are in your life. Learn to find out why they are in your life. find out why they're in your life. Listen, you're in Father's Delight, for instance. You may not know up to 100 people, but you know a few people. Some in your unit, some you have permanent seats. So you are neighbors in church always. There's a reason why you are permanent neighbors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, worst of all, is this. The person you chose as your spouse, that is the closest family member you have, and that is the only family member you chose. You did not choose your father, you did not choose your mother, you did not choose your siblings, you did not choose your village. Some of you wouldn't have chosen that village. You did not choose your village. But God placed you there, is that not so? But you are here. From Kogi, you carry your leg, go Togo, that you want to go and marry. You went there and carried a wife. Then she has value in your life. Then you wake up one day and say, you are useless. I don't need you. I don't want to say you're a fool. Today is Christmas. Out of the billions of people on earth, you chose one person as your spouse. That person has significant contribution to your fulfillment of destiny. So, learn to value your spouse. Tell your neighbor that. Tell another one. Learn to value your spouse. She's looking for neighbor. Learn to value your spouse. Praise God. No, my wife values me. If I cough, she can sell everything to buy a pharmacy for me. Yeah. Now, so value your spouse. Value your spouse. Your spouse may not be perfect, but value him. Value her. There is no man or woman that is perfect. I've observed with time, men that divorce their wife to marry another, the second wife usually give them pepe. They are often worse. I've observed with time. If you know anyone that divorced his wife and the wife is not giving him pepe yet, they are newly married or he's not speaking. There's no human being that is perfect. Now, if the spouse is dead, it's a different case. But I've observed with time that most second marriages, that the spouse is still alive, is usually worse than the first. I've observed with time. So instead of displaying your spouse's nakedness outside, pray to God on how you can improve the person. Because in this business, we have come to stay. I've spoken with a lady, not a church member. I've spoken with a lady one time in my office here. She was complaining how her husband beat her. While we were talking, she wanted to check something on Facebook. She saw how her husband was celebrating her. Posted a picture and was writing. People were commenting, see love. They don't know it until they go through. So you now will use that to intimidate yourself. You say, my own husband is not putting my picture on Facebook. Just learn to understand your spouse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn to value relationships. anyone that has contributed any area in your life, value them. Don't speak ill of them. I believe one of the reasons why Joseph doesn't want to put Mary to public display of shame is that he valued their relationship. He valued the good time. Remember all the times that he made you to do,
Amen.
Remember all those times.
Amen.
Not the times that you had misunderstanding.
Amen. Amen, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Now, I'm not in any way saying that if you're facing challenges in your marriage, you should not seek for help. That's a different thing. Seeking for help is different from going around discussing your spouse. Discussing with your spiritual leader, for instance, is like discussing with God. Any pastor or spiritual leader that doesn't know that he or she represents God, is in trouble. Are you hearing me? But going to discuss with your friends, worst of all, your friends that are single, about your spouse, the challenges you are having in your home. She'll tell you that, I can't take that nonsense. If I'm the one, I'll just check out. She's thinking his relationship. When Emeka did it, I check out. When Bule did it, I check out. Forgetting that you are a married woman. Where will you check out to?
Check out.
You have checked in.
Checked in for life.
Till death do you part. That is why you have to be careful who you get married to. How you check in, yes. Be very careful how you check in. Praise God. Don't embarrass people. Don't. Don't embarrass people. Don't put people to public shame, public disgrace. Don't. You've had a relationship with this person. And this person has confided in you valuable information. Now that the relationship is no more, you spread it to the whole world. That is wickedness. That is not how righteous men live.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I'm saying? The person has confided in you. The person told you a lot about himself, or a lot about herself, a lot about her past.
Works of the flesh.
Or her challenges. Then now that you are no longer together, you say, Pastor Tim, just leave him. It's you people who are seeing them as men of God. Me, I know him. Oh, let me not open his file. You're a wicked lady. Now, it's not just relationship as per dating. Even in place of work, people you relate with. Because listen to me. One that is unprofitable to you today can become profitable tomorrow. One that you feel is useless today can become useful tomorrow. There's an adage in Yoruba that says, see how they adjusted their seat. I've been with Mama for how many years? Mama has been training me. But let me tell you in English, because it's not everybody that understands Yoruba. Let me tell you in English. Not everybody. How many of you understand Yoruba here? Just a few, you see. There's an adage in Yoruba that says, even a madman has his day.
Yes.
So even a madman that you are feeling is useless, he has his day.
That's right.
Maybe that car that wanted to jam you, the madman will just rush in. Now he go hit.
Yeah.
He don't help you be that too.
Yeah.
So the person you are feeling is useless can become useful tomorrow. Let's see one scriptural example.
Well, I may not be able to go. I wanted to talk on this.
Acts 15 verse 36. Acts 15 verse 36 to 41. Now see the story here. Follow this story, you see. Acts 16 verse 36 to 41. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas. Barnabas was the mentor of Paul. He introduced Paul to the church. He mentored him. Are you following me? I said that so that you follow the reading. You understand the background. He was his mentor. Paul was Barnabas' protege. It was Barnabas that took Paul by the hand, presented him to the church. Yet, Paul became more well-known than Barnabas. But Barnabas remained his mentor. No matter how much God has raised you, your mentor is your mentor. Somebody that has trained you. Somebody that has trained you. Say, the grace upon my life has passed the level of Father's delight now. It's all right. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them who? John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take him with them. They should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Their last missionary journey, John Mark refused to follow them. So Paul said, "John Mark will not follow us." Barnabas said, "Let's go with John Mark." Paul said, "No, we are not going with him. He did not follow us the last time. Why should he follow up for follow-up? When we are going to till the ground, when it's a new ground, he did not follow us. Is it now that we may get honorarium, you want him to follow us? He did not suffer with us, so he should not share in the glory." Now see, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So Paul said, John Mark was not necessary. He betrayed us the last time. We don't need him. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Barnabas said, "No, let's go with him since he's with us. It's God that saved John Mark." Because in the next chapter now, they locked Paul and Silas. John Mark would have been locked there. God saved him. Because Paul, everywhere he go, imprisonment, bond, and affliction await him. So as he's following him, Barnabas would have received also. They would have locked Paul. So instead of hearing of Paul and Silas, would have had Paul, Barnabas, Silas, and John Mark were locked in prison and were beaten. I'm sure when John Mark heard that, he said, "Hey, thank God I follow Barnabas." Silas would say, "Hey, if I had known, no, I will follow Barnabas." So they separated because of John Mark, whether we should go with him or not. Now, at the end of Paul's ministry, when he was wrapping up his ministry, see what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. When he was wrapping up his ministry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He said, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Eh?
Really?
The John Mark that you say should not follow you, now that he has grown older in ministry, he has learned to value relationship. He has seen the place of John Mark. He said, get your mark to come. Oh. He is what? Useful to me.
For the ministry.
For the ministry.
Amen.
Your mark that seemed useless before now has become useful. Because listen to me, there are no useless members in the body of Christ.
Amen.
No useless member.
Praise God.
No useless member. Just like the human body, there's no useless part. Yeah. Even though medical science say they don't know the use of the appendix, I believe they have not found the use. God did not create any useless parts. God did not create any useless parts. So every part of the body of Christ is useful. I hope you know appendix is part of human body. So because as I say appendix, some people did not... appendix is part of the human body. Amen? Amen? The illness that leads to surgery is appendicitis. So, God forbid, if somebody you know diagnosed to have appendicitis, don't come and tell us he has appendix. Even you have appendix. Except if your own has been removed, amen? Hallelujah. Now, it's obvious I'll not be able to enter the next point, but let me read another example of someone that seemed useless becoming useful. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1 verse 10 to 20, New Living Translation. Then I'll read Colossians 3 verse 13 in New Living Translation as I stop. The other lessons we'll learn another time. Amen?
Amen.
But I believe you have learned something. So if you can't remember anything, know that in this Christmas, learn to follow relationship. That was why Joseph did not disgrace Mary. He lets go of his reputation. Now, see what this is Apostle Paul writing. Now, he has had experience in ministry. He's writing to his son, Philemon, in ministry. He says, now, he has sent his own servant to prison, Onesimus. Now, see Paul writing. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. So, Onesimus has misbehaved to his boss, Philemon, who sent him to prison. Amen. Philemon is a man of God, but he sent his servant to prison.
That's right.
Showing us an example of what to do just in case. Now see, but he went to prison and met Paul there, and Paul said, I became his father in the faith while in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past. That's Paul writing. He must have discussed with Onesimus in prison. Onesimus been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. Why? Because now he's born again. He can go out and win souls too. Maybe before he was just washing car and cleaning the compound, but now he's part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Say, I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news. And he would have helped me on your behalf. Are you following me? That means the same way you are my son in the faith, he would have served as my son here. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you are willing. You were willing, not because you were forced. It seems Onesimus ran away for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now, he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you will welcome me. That is a strong introduction. Say, welcome him as you welcome me. Next verse. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. See what he said in the next verse in capital letters. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Even you, man, you are owing me, but I don't want to mention it, amen? I'm not mentioning. But please forgive this man. Forgive this man. Even though you too, you are owing me, but please, I will repay his own. Amen? That means when he comes out, they will know who is to pay who. Amen? Yes, my brother, please do me this favor. For the Lord's sake, give me this encouragement in Christ. I'm confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. Now, you see what Paul said to Philemon? He said, this servant of yours, Onesimus, was useless to you. But now he has become useful because he's now in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. That means someone that you feel is useless today can become useful tomorrow. Don't treat people anyhow because you are at the top of the ladder today. The ladder may turn. And you may be the one looking up to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know different places that have gained access in life, in ministry, simply because the person knew me as Reverend Joshua Tende's brother. He said, oh, we cannot forget what he did to us. So that means your good acts is not only to yourself, it's also to your children. And your children's children. There are people that you hear about, a good name is better than silver and gold. The good acts you're doing today will open doors for your children tomorrow. They open doors for your children tomorrow. Your good acts. So don't give up on your good deeds. Don't give up on your good deeds. Don't give up. Listen to me. You may do a good act to 100 people. Only one may come back to say thank you. But that one will be more than enough. God will use that one to do what the 99 couldn't have done. So don't do good acts to people because you want them to repay you. Because if you're doing based on that, you will not help anyone. If you want to flash your mind to how some people have dealt with you, especially in the church, you say, I will not help anyone here again. Colossians 3 verse 13, New Living Translation. Colossians 3 verse 13. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Read it to your neighbor. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others also. Read it to another person.
Make allowance.
Make allowance
for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others also. So you must what? Forgive others. So you must what? Forgive others. Now, I want you to note, the Bible says make allowance. Some of you are fashion designers here. You know what it means to sew cloth with allowance. When there is some allowance inside and the cloth is tight, you can go and open it, isn't it? Enough space. So the Bible says, make allowance for each other's fault. In other words, anticipate that your neighbor will hurt you.
Amen.
Anticipate that this person you are dealing with is a human being. He or she can offend you. Forgive the person in advance. Make allowance for their faults. If you make allowance for faults, you will not keep malice. If you make allowance for faults, you will not be cutting off people from your life.
Amen.
Cutting off. Everybody, you cut off.
Amen.
I cut off. I cut off.
Amen. Amen.
We are no longer in talking tongues. What's that? Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. If you do that, you will be able to value your relationship. So one of the major Christmas lessons I want us to learn is learn to value relationships. Learn to value relationships. There are no useless members in the body of Christ. A useless person to you today can become useful tomorrow. A useless person to you can become useful tomorrow. Learn to value relationships. So as you celebrate the birth of Christ, learn to value relationships. Some of you need to make things right with some people you have cut off from your life. Because there is no useless person that God has brought to you. They are necessary for you to fulfill destiny. Some of you need to make things right with some people that you say we are not in talking terms. Make things right. Make things right. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, make things right with people. Be like Joseph, the righteous man. Value relationships beyond your reputation. More than your reputation. Value relationships. Value relationships more than your reputation. Value people and live a righteous life as the righteousness of God that you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Live a righteous life as the righteousness of God that you have. As the year is drawing to an end, this is one of the major lessons you should learn. Notice that no one is useless. Everyone is useful. Make, as you are making New Year resolutions, make intentional decisions. Make decisions and be intentional about it, that you will learn to value relationship. You will learn to value people that God has brought into your life. Learn to value people. Learn to value people that God has brought into your life. And I pray for you that none of you will fall by the wayside. In the name of Jesus, none of you will fall by the wayside. In the name of Jesus, none of you will cut off your destiny helper out of arrogance. In the name of Jesus, none of you will cut off your destiny helper out of pride. In the name of Jesus,
I pray for you. May the Lord open your eyes to know the importance of men in your life. May He open your eyes to know the importance of people in your life. As people come into your life, you will know the reason why they are there. In the name of Jesus. You will not cut off your destiny helper. You will not cut off the man or woman that will help you tomorrow. You will not cut off the man or woman that you are supposed to help fulfill destiny. In the name of Jesus. And in any way that we have made mistakes in the past, we pray for the mercy of the Lord. Let the mercy of God speak over judgment in the name of Jesus. Let the mercy of God triumph over judgment in the name of Jesus. For some of you that have cut off your destiny helpers, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. God bring another chance to you. Let God bring another chance to you. In the name of Jesus. For some of you that have caught up useful opportunities, in the name of Jesus, another opportunity open up to you. Let another door of opportunity open up to you. In the name of Jesus. For some of you that felt that your mistakes are irredeemable, by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak that let the mercy of God prevail over your mistakes. Let the mercy of God prevail over your mistakes. I declare over you that it is the dawning of a new day. It's the dawning of a new day. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new season. The old is gone and the new has come. In the name of Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and let's thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for His word to us. Thank Him for useful relationships He sent our way. Thank Him for destiny helpers He has sent our way. In the name of Jesus, repos kalam balia la katola ba. Jemanongoro palia la katola balakata. Zondolo palia la katia la kata. Le borongo tu balakasia la katia la kata. Repos kelebonda la kata. Zemboloko sundele ketora banda la katia la kata. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All eyes closed, all head bow. All eyes closed, all head bow. If you are here and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that means if you fall down today and die, if you fall down today and die, you are not sure of going to heaven. Can you raise up your hand? I want to help you. That's the reason for Christmas. I want to help you. If you are not born again, if you fall down today and die, you are not sure of going to heaven. Raise up your hand. Let's help you. Raise up your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is there anyone that is not filled with the Holy Ghost? You do not pray in other tongues? I want to pray for you. Anyone? Anyone? Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name.